Welcome back to episode 3 of Spark Conversations Podcast. I'm your host, JK the Truth.
And your host, Ariel.
And we are so glad to see you guys yet another week.
Yes. Kudos to y'all for showing up again.
Y'all telling you, they've been showing out. Y'all been doing what needs to be done. You could do a little better. Come on, let's encourage.
Okay.
You could do a little better with the sharing. I don't know if y'all scared. I don't know if y'all intimidated. Wait,
right.
What is it?
Right.
Fighting? It ain't going to hurt you to hit that share button, that follow button, that subscribe button. We really do appreciate all the support thus far, though. We are extremely grateful for all the support and the encouragement we received thus far. You guys have just been...
Y'all been doing the thing.
Yeah. We got to find our tribe name.
We definitely
We're going to name us.
Throw some names out there.
Y'all about to say we're going to take a poll.
Throw some names out there.
We're going to take a poll and see what we want to be called.
Yes, yes. We definitely appreciate all the love, all the support, all the likes, all the views. But let's share. We don't want to just hold this for the people who have been watching, but we want others to hear. So thank y'all so much for showing up and supporting us.
Yeah.
We are so excited about this week's episode. Okay, y'all, strap in, get ready. It's going to be good.
Now, before it gets good, we just want to say very quickly, Happy Mother's Day!
Yes!
Happy Mother's Day. Happy early Mother's Day to all the moms out there, the moms to be.
Yeah.
We honor all of you guys. We know that this episode will premiere
right,
Mother's Day weekend. And so it's so intentional. God is so intentional with the order and the way and the details that he does things, because it's no coincidence what this episode is going to be about. So we definitely wanted to enter in with the Happy Mother's Day, because we definitely going to get to it today. So I'm going to hand it over to Ariel to wheel us on in, and we're going to go from there.
Yes. So as you guys probably have figured out, our episode this week is about the mamas.
Yeah.
And our topic this week is
no more mama trauma. Woo! We finna get rid of it. No more mama trauma. You gonna be free this Mother's Day.
Yes.
Ooh, in Jesus' name.
So, like
I'm so happy.
Strap in.
We gonna
get
to it.
It might get a little hot, but it's definitely
going to
be good, right? Right.
Amen.
And I'm excited.
Me too.
So let's jump right into it. So with our topic being no more mama trauma, the first thing that we want to do is just give you guys the definition of what trauma itself even is. And trauma is defined as, in psychological terms, it refers to an emotional or physiological response to a distressing event or series of life events. And so with our topic being no more mama trauma, first of all, it's not even that it's a negative thing.
Yeah.
But every one of us has had some type of experience with our mothers that may have left some scars, may have caused some wounds, may have caused some things or some ways in us that now we are adults and living on our own, and we have these characteristics, these coping mechanisms, all of these things that are results of our experiences with our mothers. And we don't take the love away from what they were to us, what they have been, the love, the support, the providing, all the things that they have done. But today we are all going to be free from the trauma we have experienced by our mama.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'm just going to name a few symptoms of trauma, symptoms of this emotional / psychological response to a distressing thing or event that you may have received from the person who raised you, who birthed you. Because, you know, some of us don't have our moms. Yeah. And so we don't want to skip out the fact that it doesn't have to be maternal.
Right.
You know, whether it's adoption, foster, it's all under the same umbrella.
Yeah.
Some symptoms of trauma is fear and anxiety. When you experience lots of manifestations of fear and anxiety, that is a symptom. That is a sign that there is some type of distressful event or some type of distressful memory hidden on the inside of you. Shame and guilt. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Shame and guilt is another one of the manifestations that you may be experiencing some trauma. Mm-hmm. Substance abuse.
Now that's a big one. That is definitely a big one.
Substance abuse can be a direct indicator that there is a distressful event replaying in your mind that maybe you are not healed from.
Yeah.
This not even on the card. Sorry, I gotta go off script.
Yeah.
I was talking about, I had did that one portion, that one segment on my social media about substances. Mm-hmm. And substance is a form of substance. Substance abuse is a replacement.
Right.
A replacement of something that you're trying to fill a void for. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so what happens is, because we have not dealt with these things, we have not dealt with these trauma-filled events, we have not dealt with these memories, we have not dealt with the realities of what happened with us, we oftentimes turn to substances, and because it doesn't work, we abuse it.
Yeah.
And that is where you get substance abuse. Because we're not dealing with the actual thing. Now, though there is a list, I'll just go through them quickly. Depression, constant anger and rage, and emotional instability. All of these things are a direct indicator or a symptom that something is trauma-filled in your life. And because we are focusing today on the trauma rooted from your mama, that's what we're going to deal with. And so, first of all, we wanted to just lead with some personal experiences that we experience from our mamas with the light, with the hopes, with great, great hopes that it brings you freedom.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it. We already know Spark Conversations is about having hard conversations, and it's about bringing light and illumination to the dark areas and the hard things. And so we take pleasure in leading with accountability. We take pleasure in leading with vulnerability and transparency because we know that it's freedom attached.
Yeah.
Amen. It's freedom attached to this conversation. So I'll let you go first.
Yeah. So so there's many things that I can talk about just because we all have many experiences.
Yeah.
But one of the things when it comes to what I would say is an experience of mama trauma for me is, one, being raised by a single mother.
Mm.
But my mom was in the military for a majority of my life. And so I stayed with my grandmother and my grandfather and was, you know, for the most part, raised by my grandparents. And my mom was out serving our country. But I realized, like, growing up, I felt the void of her not being there.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, there were things that I experienced as a child that you would want to tell your mama, and then you'd be like, oh, my mama's there for me. Like, she got me. She gonna protect me at all costs. And the truth of the matter is, it didn't happen the way I thought it would.
Yeah.
And so some of the most traumatic events of my life that I experienced outside of my mom were things that I felt like, as a mother, she should have come.
Yeah.
Loved on me.
Yeah.
Let me know that it will be okay. Yeah. Let me know that I was safe. And I didn't feel that.
Yeah. So what were some of the results of that?
So in that, prime example, and I was just having a conversation with my mom about this the other day.
Shout out to our mamas.
Yes, we love y'all.
We love y'all.
But I was
ain't no doom and gloom tonight.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But I was having a conversation with her the other day because she mentioned to me that she felt like, you know, I was hanging out and spending time with everybody else but her. Mm-hmm. And when I started thinking about it, naturally I wanted to go into defense mode.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to defend my reason behind why I was or was not doing what she felt like I was doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I remember specifically saying, it's not like this is a norm for us. It's not like we've always spent time together. When have you called me and said, let me take you out to dinner, let me take you out to lunch, without it being something?
Yeah.
And so I didn't even realize that throughout the latter part of my adulthood that I wasn't being intentional about building a relationship or, let me say, maintaining a relationship with my mother, because growing up, I did not feel like I had that.
Yeah.
And so I was rejecting her without realizing it.
Mm-hmm. Not you doing the thing that was done to you.
Right.
Ooh.
And that right there, and we're going to get to this, but I'm going to say this right now and we'll get back to it. I was doing to her the very thing that I felt that she was doing to me. And then for me, I felt like I was justified. Mm. But then I didn't think about what she may have experienced that made her even do that.
Yeah.
And without putting it all out there, she didn't have the best relationship with her mother either.
Absolutely.
And so what is happening is it's generation after generation experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
And not extending grace.
Yeah.
Knowing that this didn't just start
right here, right now. Yeah.
But this was already happening.
Yeah.
So,
we could really go on all day, because while she was talking, I got like 50 examples that came to my head. And I'm like, Holy Ghost, which one they need? But me, I grew up very large family, very large family, five siblings. And so I have what you have, what they would call or had middle child syndrome. Mm. And so one of the things that I struggled with growing up and even in my adulthood, at the beginning of adulthood, was middle child syndrome. So it's like being left out. One of the things which we'll get to later after we get to the part, well, how do you fix this, is that I always felt like it was just me. Like I love my mama, and further on in life I go to figure these things out, but I'm just talking from the place of before I knew. My mom was present, but not what you would call active, at least not from my life. And we say this all the time, is when you have siblings, each sibling has their own experience.
Right.
And you can't tell somebody what type of experience they had.
Yeah.
And although I watched my mom be like super supportive with everybody else, it was just always like, you good. You know, and I'm like, one day I asked her, I'm like, why aren't you never there?
I don't want to be the good one.
And she's just like, you strong, you got it. And I'm like, but where do you get that from? And why do you feel that way? Like, why do you? And she honestly, you know, we be saying stuff and doing stuff that we be ignorant to stuff. And she literally was like, well, you turned out fine without me. And I just broke my little heart, because I'm like, I turned out fine to you.
Right.
Because this is good to you.
All along, but
I needed my mom. And so some of the things that I experienced and the manifestations of that was I acted out. Mm-hmm. Whatever nurturing I didn't get, whatever attention that I didn't get, I found where to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Wasn't the best ways, but we being honest here. I found where I wanted to receive that from. And so one of the things, like you said, in my adulthood that I didn't realize that I was doing was I created this hyper independentness.
Yes.
And so even if I would complain about what we didn't have and what we didn't do, but I was making no efforts either, because I felt like, you the mama, you do it. And I don't care how well off I am, you the grown one, you fix it. But again, once we're all adults, everything that we do, the choices that we make, they are intentional. They are choices. Mm-hmm. And so you have to consider these things. So for me, I experienced, and I was literally telling a friend of mine on the way here, I was just like, it's not until you get an adult where you realize dysfunction that's not normal.
Yeah.
And maybe, again, like you said, maybe they did things that's all that they knew to do. But I did not grow as much as I would have loved to. And as unfortunate as this isn't my story, I didn't grow up with, like, hanging with my mom and nail shopping, girl dates and boys talk and cycles and periods. Like, no. I was literally telling her, I was at school. Cramping. I'm like, what is this? What is going on?
Or what to do.
And I was just like, again, that type of, I don't want to call it neglect, but that type of neglect or abandonment in those areas, I didn't know was that. Mm-hmm. Until you got a little older and people cool with their mamas and they do this. And I grew up, you know, in high school, I was on the dance team and spring shows and all of these shows and competitions. She wasn't out there with no t-shirts on and signs. You know, so then we're not going to talk about how that rooted rejection.
Yeah.
Because what is it about me that you can't show up for me? Why not me? I'm the popping one anyway. No, but for real. Yeah. And so we unknowingly, it created a seed of rejection. And sometimes moms can plant that unknowingly. Mm-hmm. It was in them first. It happened to them first. Unfortunately, but which we're going to progress in that conversation, because that's the problem. We didn't know because y'all don't talk.
Yeah.
Look, what's the, put the sound effects, put the crickets right there. Cause
that's true though. That's true.
We didn't know. Yeah. We don't know what the heck happened to y'all.
Right.
Unfortunately. And so when things are being passed down, which again, we'll get to that part when we go through how you fix this. You have a more sensitivity or compassion when you have an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Right.
Without that awareness, we do not know. But if we're talking this side of the kingdom, we should have it regardless.
Yeah. That's true.
Right.
But, and so while you were talking, it just made me think about how much of an impact throughout my life, from the time, you know, being in school till now, how I could literally track how experiencing trauma through my relationship with my mom
affected
everything. When I say everything, like I was that kid. I never was a bad kid. Didn't get in trouble. Like I
can't say the same.
Well, you know.
I told y'all I acted out. Nah, I gave
it. And see, but that while acting out was your
manifestation.
Yours. For me, mine was, I was always close to my teacher.
Mm.
I was close to the women at church.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking for a mama in everybody else.
Let's get up.
Because
let
I
me
did
put these
not
down.
Have it. And what's even more crazy about it is thinking that, okay, if I'm... my mom's not giving me the love that I want, but this person over here is. So now it's all or nothing for me. I'm giving you everything. And then there's more damage done because now I'm purely loving this person, building a relationship with this person, because to me, they are a mother figure in my life.
Yeah.
And I experienced more trauma by their hands than I did by my own mama.
Give me the tissue. Give me the tissue. No, seriously. I think I'm going to cry. No, I'm serious. I need tissue. No, I was literally talking about how... I was literally talking about how when something is, quote unquote, missing the void, how we look forward in other things, going back to our other episode, outside of God.
Yeah.
Or things God never intended. And I think for me, and again, I was just telling a friend of mine, this made it easy for me to be accessible, manipulated, abused, used, because of what I desire so bad. Even so much so, I would put up with things that I know was not good, but for the sake of nurturing, for the sake of some type of mothering, I feel my help, for the sake of having someone, I just put up with things that I just knew wasn't God, but I really wasn't ready for that space to be empty without the maternal mother and without the other ones either.
Yeah.
Now, speaking from personal experience, my father passed in 2012. And so now you're trying to find what this pursuit is with a mama you never had something with, absent a father. And you could never have imagined these things. So we ain't going to talk about it. And I think it's on here. We ain't going to talk about how the death of my dad tried to guilt me into having something.
Yeah.
And what I could not find in her, I tried to find in, like you said, in these spiritual coverings, in these churches, or anybody who just seemed to be a mother-like figure, when a lot of these things just, honestly, they just needed to be addressed.
Right.
They just needed to be communicated. And I think it is the fear of what could be said, what could be done, what'll happen. And unfortunately for some people, they can't talk at all, especially if the person is if the mom is deceased. Like, it's so many factors that goes into play with this. But I also believe a lot of the healing is fear driven.
Absolutely.
It's this fear of I'm gonna speak from experience. What could I come to know that I'm actually glad I don't know? Because once again, once you open the door, you are not responsible for that information you just received.
Right.
And I'm going to testify right here, which we're going to get to that part too. But when I was going through my healing process of all these things, one of the things that I was praying to God, I was like, I want this with my mama and I want it to be like this. And he literally said, I just want her to be honest with me. And he said, you are not healed enough for her honesty. He said, nor do you have a solution for if she were to tell you. You have not built yourself up in a place of prayer, in a place of fasting, in a place of sustainability to even if she were to get truthful to you, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
You have not built it up. And I told him, you're absolutely correct. Never mind. I repent. Forgive me. And from that day, I literally was totally fine with her never not telling me nothing until I knew that I built up the capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I think for me, just with what I do know.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever was in a place where I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Because I say that because in me being honest and expressing how I felt about certain things, there were things that were said that completely shattered me.
Yeah.
That told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah.
Without telling me anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so for me,
overstood.
I just accepted it for what it was.
Yeah.
But in that,
yeah,
I realized that it caused me to have this hardness in my heart towards my mom indirectly because I didn't even realize that that's what it was.
Yeah.
And even when I had relationships with other people, I had, you know, mother figures in my life and she would say things or she would mention things, but it wasn't really like direct. I would just kind of brush it off when, just like as a child, I was crying for help.
Yeah.
It was a cry to be heard. You know what I mean? It's like somebody says something and you try not to read into it.
Yeah.
But then later you think about it and you're like, what they really were saying was X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I literally have saw how, without realizing it, I thought I was extending grace.
Mm-hmm.
So I just would brush it off when things would happen. I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
But for me, it was me holding back the love that I feel like I had to give her that she didn't give me.
Yeah.
And so if I didn't have it, then you don't deserve it either. That's not even in God. There is no way you could have that posture.
Yeah.
But without realizing it, that's what I say or that's what I give every time.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's cool. It's okay. But in that, it's just, okay, I just want to be done. Not, okay, I'm going to love you through this.
Correct.
Even though you're not saying what I want you to say.
Yes.
Even though you're not showing up the way I want you to show up. You're not doing what I want you to do. I still should be loving you through it.
Yes.
And I'm not. I'm just going on with my life as if you are.
And I feel like that's, hold on, hear me out. I feel like that's not wrong when you're not in God.
Yeah. Right.
That is the proper response. Mm-hmm. For somebody who's not in Christ.
But over here.
Over here, it is because that's what mercy is. Mm-hmm. Mercy is giving what is not deserved or earned, but freely given.
Right.
And so we just over here practicing mercy.
We trying to be Christ.
We trying to be Christ. It's hard. And so moving, I'm so churchy.
They know we love God.
I'm so churchy because I was like, as we advance, and oh my God. Sorry. Not sorry. No, but moving on to some life practical applications on how to heal from this, which we'll get into this too. For one, is to accept your experiences. Accept what happened and know that it is okay. Come on. Accept the fact that many of you were rejected. Mm-hmm. Accept the fact that many of you were abandoned. Some of us dealt with the mama being jealous.
Yeah.
For men, some of y'all dealt with just emotional incest. Mm-hmm. Your mama thinking you her man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The real thing.
You know, there are so many things, abandonment, mm-hmm. especially people who've been fostered or adopted, just dealing with the fact of why you didn't pick me. One of the ways that you are going to heal is acknowledging and accepting what happened to you without putting it back on you.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that we do too, is that when traumatic things happen, we try to see, what did I do? Mm-hmm. What did I do to deserve it? What did I do for that to happen to me? Was it something in me? And it's like, whether it was or whether it wasn't, mm-hmm. let's just accept the fact that it did. And I'm not trying to be insensitive over people's situations or circumstances, but I really want y'all to understand that the hoarding of trauma is acting like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to free you by saying just accept that it did.
And for many years, we have been doing that.
Yeah. Just and it and look it, and look at
acting like it didn't happen.
And look at where we at.
Right. But and even in that, accepting that it happened.
Yeah.
You have to know that if you're here, you survived.
Hey.
So it's I'm not like survivor. you might have almost lost your mind. You might have turned. Yeah.
No.
Down
we did lose it.
A way, right.
Some of us lost that whole mind.
Yeah, but you survived it. You survived it. And the opportunity for healing is still here.
Yes.
You don't have to continue on in life with it. You just have to accept it to begin your healing journey.
Amen. Another practical life application to heal is therapy.
Yes.
I want to get into this one experience I had at therapy. Glory to God. This is when I was coming into highly into my gifts, into seeing and foresight and, you know, prophetic this, prophetic that. And I would have these visions and dreams of my mom, like as a child. And I'm like, she ain't never talked about that. And da da da. And I just remember being in therapy and she's like, you should ask your mom about her history. You should ask her. And then that's when it hit me. I'm like, I don't know her. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I ever sat down with my mom and just said, tell me your story. I'm like, okay, we Christians, we grew up in church. Okay, cool. But what's your testimony?
Yeah.
How did you come here? How did we get here? Like, what is life? What is that for you? And I never forget. I would never forget. I was telling my mom about just a vision, a dream I had. I was like, did this happen to you? She was like, no. And I said, okay. And that's when I really learned the power of intercession, because yes, it did. And I'm a pray anyway. But one thing that came from that, and this was birthed through therapy, is she said, begin to see your mother as a woman and not your mom. Mm-hmm. Learn her as a woman and not your mother. And then go from there. From that day forward, I had the sight of learning her, observing her, her patterns, her character, her nature as a woman apart from what I wanted her to be, mm-hmm. or apart from what she actually was to me, which was my mother. Right. And from there, I feel like a veil was removed. And I was just like, she regular degular. And we grew up in church, so my mom was like super religious. Super religious. So now this other version of her is like something else. And I'm like, you fake. But she's just really a woman.
Yeah.
She's just really a woman learning and growing no matter the age. And I'm just like, oh, where I want to be mad? This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm literally watching her explore things. I don't have to agree.
Yeah.
I don't have to agree with the lifestyle she chooses. I don't have to agree with the decisions that she makes. I, as a daughter, her daughter, and I, as a daughter of God, mm-hmm. Have the sight to see her as a woman outside of my mother, and that's who I nurture.
Yeah.
That's who I speak to. That's who I address. That's the part of her that I deal with. So it took the pressure off of feeling like you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. and you, because then I saw you as a woman. And then it made me reflect her life. I'm like, shoot, she got married at 19, had all them doggone kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I would be. So it literally took the hate.
Yeah.
The anger, the frustration that I wanted to have toward a mom who wasn't active or as present into a woman, and just said, oh, you was just doing what you could. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I love you for that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna love you for that.
Yeah.
And then so I treat her as the woman that God shows me about her, separate from who birthed me.
Your mom, yeah.
Amen.
No, that's good. That's good. I actually remember having somewhat of a similar experience going through therapy.
Go to therapy, y'all.
Please.
Please.
Like, you can be in God.
In Christ.
Talk to somebody.
Please. A professional.
Right. Somebody who has went to school.
And got the textbook knowledge. Oh, yes. But what's going on in your psyche?
It's very important as believers.
I don't want to laugh right there.
No, but seriously. And, you know, I've been in therapy since I was very young.
Oh, that's beautiful. You got help
early. It started because I was,
you got help early.
I got help early, unfortunately, due to a suicide attempt. But, mm-hmm. you know.
Me. Hold on, can we put a pin right there? This is totally off subject, but I feel like you ain't really lived until you didn't try to live. Now, we'll save that for another topic another day.
Yeah.
But shout out to you living through it. I had one too.
Yeah.
I feel like you ain't really got no test. No, I ain't gonna say
don't
that.
Don't say that.
I ain't gonna say that. I ain't gonna say that because you don't have to live like this.
Right.
But to be saved, hey. I'm not wanting to be saved.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother testimony. So shout out to all of y'all who lived through it. Right. Hey.
Right.
Glory to God.
That's good.
Okay. But, I know. There we go.
Yeah. Shifting. In that,
yes.
I've been in therapy since I was about 16. And I regularly, you know, when I need to be in therapy, I definitely do it. But I remember going through this season of my life where I had been just utterly disappointed by a person that was a mother figure in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was literally on the verge of losing my mind.
Yeah.
And I went to therapy to work through that. And in that, my therapist and I started talking about my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that moment when she was talking to me and she was just like asking me, like, you know, what even got you to a place where you felt like you wanted this person to be a mother to you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, snap. Yeah, okay.
Here you go. Here you go.
And so that opened Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. But I remember her telling me or asking me, has your mother ever told you what life was like when she was growing up? And outside of my mom being adopted mm-hmm. by her aunt, and then her aunt's husband, which is ended up being my mom's dad, passing away when she was a teenager, there was nothing that I knew.
Yeah.
But then I thought about how that alone could cause you to feel abandonment, rejection. She grew up next door to her siblings, but she wasn't in the house with her siblings.
Yeah.
She wasn't in the house with her biological parents.
Right.
And it started making me realize that just like a kid who was experiencing abandonment and neglect and rejection in my way, she did too.
She did too.
And so it made
there go that
me,
compassion.
Right. And it made me want to give grace to say, you know what? Just like you said, she did what she could do.
Yeah.
She was the best mother that she could be based on her experiences. It could have went another way.
Yeah.
She very well could have been a mother who gave her kids up.
Yeah.
And didn't look back.
Yeah.
But she did what she could do. And in therapy, talking about that and realizing that helped me work through
absolutely
the trauma I experienced as a child.
Absolutely.
Thinking that I wasn't loved by my mother.
Yeah.
I wasn't accepted by my mother. She didn't support me the way she did my brother. Like it was all of that. And it was literally like the weight of the world being lifted. Like all of this that I've been holding that has caused me to want to be accepted by other people.
Yes.
That has caused me to be an introvert and not want to talk because my mama ain't listening.
Yeah.
So don't nobody else want to hear me. All of those things I started working through therapy. And I'm like, you know what? I don't have to be a result of my experiences. I don't have to become what my experiences are saying I have to be. And I ain't got to be mad at my mama no more.
Right. I don't have to hold this.
I don't have to fault you or feel like you let me down.
I don't have to carry this.
I don't have to carry this.
I think one of the things on after therapy is having hard conversations, and that's in therapy. And maybe we should do something a little different. When this episode does air, we are going to tag therapists on the page. If you are faith-based, we are going to tag and promote faith-based therapists so that you can get you some help.
Yeah.
And so that this thing, which we believe you will be free today.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to prolong or it doesn't have to keep going.
Yeah. Some people
there is so much freedom in, like we said, not just talking to someone, but talking to someone who is skilled.
Yeah.
Who is skilled in dealing with the psychological part of this, y'all. Which brings us to number 3 and 4.
Yes.
Pursuing deliverance, fasting, and prayer. So you might need a therapist and a pastor or a deliverance minister. Mm-hmm. There are some things that you are dealing with, trauma in the mind, psychologically, and then some is in the soul.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff's spiritual.
Yeah.
Half of the trauma we do deal with was passed down.
Right.
And that's a spirit. And we gonna deal, and we need to kill it. We need to kill it through fasting, prayer, and deliverance sessions. Yeah. And I think again, this has been a hard concept, even just for religious people to conceive.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. We love Jesus.
Yeah.
We do. But you need counseling.
You need help, yeah.
What they say is supposed to say some things need to be cast out and some things need to be counseled.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. You have to know which is which.
Right.
And neither is never an option.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to do one, great job, but neither is never an option. And so one of the practical things, again, that you can do is to pursue therapy, deliverance, fasting, and prayer. Why? Because in that fasting, in that prayer time, God will reveal to you, you.
Right.
As much as we want that stuff to be about other people, even when you pray prayers like, Lord, show me what's in me that caused me to have a hatred towards my mother. Show me what's in me that's not forgiving. Show me what's in me that's making it hard to get over. Show me what's in me that makes me replay this in my mind. Fasting will always be a mirror.
Right.
And as much as we want to go in because of this person, it's you.
Yeah.
And we're not blaming you. Not at all.
Yeah.
But he will show you you and how to heal you and how to get over it, which ultimately yields the best you ever.
Yeah.
Number five.
And after prayer and fasting or along with
side, alongside.
And fasting and deliverance is reading and studying the word of God.
Oh, let me put a point right there. Ask me why.
Why?
Y'all, think of you. Can I get I need some props. Think of you. Well, you are. You're a vessel. You're a container.
Correct.
And if you are full of trauma, hey, and then I feel a preach. And then you go through deliverance and counseling and this thing begins to come out of you. It is empty. You will be empty. You need the word to fill the void.
Yes.
There will be an empty space and place there. Mm-hmm. You do not want to fill it with substances. Mm-hmm. You do not want to fill it with other carnal things. You want to fill that space that was just uprooted out of you with word and scripture. I'm trying to tell y'all. Hear me. Hear me with your good ears. You do not want that place void because it leaves too much room for a counterfeit.
Yeah.
Counterfeit healing, counterfeit replacement. Ugh, may it never be so. You want to fill that place with word so that these voids are actually filled with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just have to say that right there.
I mean... I don't have to say nothing else. But no, seriously though, as you are reading and studying the word of God, just concerning your life and especially concerning what you've experienced and specifically the experiences with your mother, what you have to know is as you study the word of God, mm-hmm. it'll begin to soften your heart.
Yes.
To open you up to compassion, to open you up to forgiveness. And I think many of us experience things with our parents in general or with people in general, and we are so far away from forgiveness because we feel like they owe us something, because we feel like they did wrong by us.
Yeah.
But as you study the word of God, along with prayer and along with fasting, God will enable you to do the hard things.
Absolutely.
And the hard things can be accepting that it happened.
Yeah.
And talking about it, but then forgiving your mama.
Yes.
Some of y'all going to have to click off of this and go hug your
and
mama.
And go hug her, text her.
Call her.
Call her, FaceTime.
Meet her for dinner.
For those who got the mamas with the Android, WhatsApp
Google
her.
Google me.
Duo her.
Right. Right.
And love on her if you are still able. And I just feel the sensitivity for the people whose parents or mothers are deceased.
Yeah.
Forgive anyway. And I learned that in deliverance, there is a forgiveness beyond the grave.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oof. Oh, I feel that.
That's good.
There is a forgiveness. I feel my help. Beyond the grave. Because you don't have to live like this. Some people feel as though it's too late. There's nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
And I just even pray now that the Lord begins to heal you in areas for conversations you will never be able to have. May healing come to that place of your heart for voids that you think will never be able to be filled.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So now we're going to top it off. We're going to top it off because we ain't going to leave y'all here like that. Well, with scripture. Baby, we're going to run through these scriptures. And y'all can write these down because what? Y'all are note takers.
Yes.
And we're just going to leave y'all with some scriptures that will just aid your healing, aid the resolving, the dissolving of this trauma, the dissolving of these horrible memories, dissolving of these horrible experiences. We just want to fill that place with word. We want to run it out with word. Come on, we're going to drive it out.
With word.
With word. The first scripture is Matthew 6 and 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Father, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you are expecting God to forgive you, you have to forgive the people who sinned against you, starting with your mama. We want to go into this Mother's Day with forgiveness.
Yes.
Hey!
Yeah.
Forgive that lady. Forgive that lady.
Yes. Today.
And don't you, what the Bible say? Don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today.
Do it today.
Do it now while it's still breath in your body and while you still got time.
Yeah.
Come on, kill that pride.
Yeah.
Because we ain't going to talk about how pride going to try to raise up every time you want to move forward. Every time it's time for you to do the hard thing, do the thing that matters most, do the thing that'll traject, pride going to come up. Yeah. Arrogance going to come up. Yeah. Ego is going to come up. Yeah. But you got to kill it every time.
Yeah.
Kill it with forgiveness. Kill it with kindness. Kill it with compassion.
And be okay if she does not respond.
Absolutely.
The way you feel like she should.
Actually, respond. Kill that expectation of how you think they should respond.
Yeah.
Then you won't be hurt by nothing.
Right.
Because you ain't expect a doggone thing except your own freedom and healing.
Right. Because you're not doing it for them. You are doing it for you.
Amen.
Yes. The next one is Proverbs 17 and 9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends.
Let that word
say. Okay, look. Don't even anything else need to be said.
Let that word.
Yeah.
Y'all, that's self-explanatory.
It is. It definitely is self-explanatory.
Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. Yeah. We just pray the prosperity of love. Even now, as faults are being forgiven, as experiences are being forgiven, as memories, as trauma is being forgiven, may love prosper. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
That's so good.
It is.
Good. I love the word.
Do.
And do.
And do.
The next scripture is Psalm 91, 4 through 6. He will. You want to say it? Because you made it a little lengthy. Y'all know I was the person that didn't want to read out loud in class. Don't keep calling on me. I can read before you call me. Then I get to stutter.
Get the stutter. Everybody listening.
I'm just exposing myself.
No, this is actually one of my favorite scriptures. Psalms 91, verse 4 through 6. He will cover you with his feathers.
Cover me.
He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. And I thought about this earlier. Everything that you experienced at the hand of your mother may not have been what you wanted it to be, may have been some of the hardest things you had to experience, but know that God did not allow you to go through those things to leave you.
Woo.
He is covering you.
That's
he is
right.
loving you. He That's is right. protecting you. And even, because I feel this, and this is something come that on. I had to like come into an understanding of, even when the offense was happening, even when the things were happening, I had to come to a place to believe that God was with me even in it.
Absolutely.
He was with me before it. He was with me in it. And he's been with me after it. And so for those of you who are mad at God because he let your mothers let you down.
Woo! Woo, come on, get that place.
Y'all gotta, you have to get to a place where you forgive yourself, mm-hmm. where you forgive your mother, and then you come back into reconciliation with God because he is still loving you. Mm-hmm. He is still protecting you. And there is nothing that can keep him from doing that, no matter how dark it may seem, no matter how hard it may seem. And even for those who are experiencing things right now.
Yeah.
You are still experiencing trauma.
Yeah, in your adulthood.
In your adulthood, God is with you.
Yes, Lord.
Give it to him and know that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always protecting you, and he loves you.
Amen. Amen. Shout out to the love of God. The next scripture is Psalm 34 and 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Y'all, it is no coincidence that the Lord will deal with the crushed spirit before the day could come.
Yeah.
This is going to air on a Thursday. By Sunday, you will be whole. You will be healed because he visits and he cares about the brokenhearted. I just declare a decree. I feel a shift. The year of our Lord 2024, this is your last year brokenhearted.
Yeah.
Concerning your mother, concerning trauma, concerning your past. This is the last year. Yeah. And we just declare by faith, he is near to you. He is comforting you even now. You know, when you're watching something, you just feel it. I pray that many of y'all, you all begin to be released by way of your tears, mm-hmm. Be released by way of your cry, by way of your release, your communication.
Yeah.
I pray that healing comes upon you in any way God sees fit, and that you be reminded that he rescued those whose spirits are crushed. That means your crushed spirit does not scare him.
Yeah.
He's not intimidated by it. But that spirit requires him to rescue you.
Woo! Okay.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
It is a prerequisite
mm-hmm.
for him to rescue you.
He'll come to your rescue.
Oh, we thank you. Okay, you're going to have to do the next one. Cause now I go, I need my music. I need my click track.
But let's just put a little praise right there. 2 Corinthians 1, woo! Verses 3 through 5 says, all praise to God, the Father of
wait,
our
go,
Lord
go to the
Jesus
subtitle.
Christ. The subtitle is God offers comfort to all.
Hey!
To all.
All. Not one, not two, not.
But all. Yes. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others.
Mm-hmm.
Go comfort your mama.
Mm-hmm.
When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same. My
woo!
God.
Woo!
We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. My God.
We ain't going to even explain that. You're going to have to self-meditate on that one.
Okay.
We got to get them homework.
Right.
But you heard what he said.
Okay. He's comforting you so that
you can comfort
us. Can comfort others.
So that should put haste, quickness.
Call your mama.
On you being comforted by God.
Yeah.
Because your very comfort is assigned to another.
Yeah.
And because we're talking about this episode, it's your mother.
It's your mother.
Amen.
Amen.
The next one is Psalm 119 and 50. And it says, your promise revives me.
Yeah.
It comforts me in all my troubles. And so once again, we just know that the promises of God mm-hmm. brings a certainty,
yeah.
assurance that he will comfort us and that he is with you,
mm-hmm.
as she stated. And so once again, we pray that the promise of God begins to revive you on the inside.
Yeah.
Where you have not been yourself. And even to where Mother's Day is dreadful for you.
Yeah.
Ooh, come on. You know that pressure that comes when the day is approaching.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that this is the hour that you will experience the reviving of God's comfort in your real self, in your healed self, and may that person be awakened.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So be it.
In Jesus' name.
Come on and close us out. Last scripture.
Last scripture, and many of us know this one. Romans 8 and 28.
You love this one.
I do, okay? We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
Everything that you have experienced, everything that you have went through, God is going to cause it to work together for your good. Absolutely. You may not see it manifest tangibly. You may not see it come to pass naturally, but know that nothing that you have experienced will be wasted. God is going to use it for his glory, for your healing, for your freedom, and for your purpose in him. So Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, for it. Just creating a space of freedom, a space of vulnerability, a space of transparency where we can come together and talk about the things that have hurt us, the things that have caused us to be the way that we are due to the experiences that we have had with our mothers. And Father, I thank you that today your love will prosper. I thank you that today you are penetrating the hearts of your sons and your daughters, and that you would cause them to be open to a journey of healing in you, Lord God. I thank you that you are softening their hearts, that you are giving them a heart of flesh and removing that stony heart, as your word says in Ecclesiastes, God. And I pray that we would begin to talk to our mothers about those things that we have experienced, and that even if we can't, that God, we would give those things to you. I thank you, God, that tonight your children are experiencing healing, that your children are experiencing deliverance, that they are experiencing the love that they feel like they have gone without. Father, I thank you that tonight you are comforting them with your word. I thank you that tonight, God, you are just wrapping them in your arms, and that they will experience your warm embrace, Father. And I release those mothers that are watching that feel like they have not been who they should have been for their children. I pray that they would forgive themselves, that they would love on their children, and that today a journey will begin between the son and the mother, and between the daughter and the mother, that would cause them to love each other, to have compassion, Lord God, and to just break this cycle of just stress and division. But Father, today you are bridging the gap between the mother and the son, and the mother and the daughter. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love that heals, your love that forgives, your love that comforts, your love that rescues. Father, we honor you tonight, and we thank you, Lord God, that some people are being freed, knowing that what you allowed them to experience will work together for their good. Father, we love you. We honor you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And I just feel the release to pray or just decree for those of you who will actively pursue healing, who will actively pursue forgiveness. I even just feel the Lord telling me to release divine provision. So we just speak provision over you, that you won't even be moved on how am I, whether that provision is the therapy, the money, the church, the ministers. I pray that there be a loosing of just favor concerning your life, because you are choosing God, because you are choosing forgiveness, and because you are choosing healing and wholeness. May everything that you lack be fulfilled. May everything that your hand needs to progress in your healing process be in your hand.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we just declare you are healed. You are whole. You are set free. You are not bound. Trauma is not your portion, nor is it your identity, but you will be found in him, that which is healed, that which is whole. in Jesus' name. And we just declare that over your life. And we just declare that if you never had it before, may this be the happiest Mother's Day known to date because you are free.
Yes.
Woo. In Jesus' name. So we just pray. We declare. You are full of compassion. Yeah. And like she said, I just begin to pray and decree over the mothers. You are forgiven.
Yes.
You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. And may you move in the peace and the comfort of God from knowing he forgives me. So I forgive myself. Hey, so we declare that freedom be your portion, and whom the sun sets free is truly free indeed. We call in your indeed.
Yes.
Whew. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. Hey.
We love you.
And so this will conclude episode number 2. Happy Mother's Day again. Oh, at number 3. Look at me. Happy Mother's Day again. Yeah. Thank y'all for tuning in. Make sure y'all share this. We want this to get out as much as possible before Mother's Day come. Yes. We need the people healed and whole. Okay? Yes. Do not keep it to yourself. Do not keep it to yourself. Like, share, tag, subscribe, follow, all that.
All the things.
And we'll see y'all next time on episode 4. We out.
Peace.